are listening to the Sermon Podcast from Real Life on the Palouse, reaching the world for Jesus, one person at a time.
You know, as I was asking this question, as God was working with me on the sermon this week, I was like, God, what are you doing here? What are you doing in this text, this overarching narrative of the text and us being soaked in the Gospel of Matthew and just kind of going through it piece by piece by piece and seeing what he's doing and revealing? What are you doing in your text? What are you trying to communicate to these precious people at this time, this Gospel of Matthew that is written for the Jews, and we get to observe it? And what does it mean for them? And what does it mean for us today? And so as we go and prepare, I just want you to ask that within your own heart. Pray with me. Father God, what do you want to show me today? Not my neighbor, not somebody else's side of the street, Lord. What do you want to show me about who you are and your character and what you're about? Lord, we invite you to come within us and change us. Change us through worship. Change us through your text. Change us through what we would hear, Lord. And let these be your words today, powerful words in the name of Jesus. Amen. As I started thinking about what is Jesus doing here, I started looking back of where we had been. And Jesus says, repent, teshuva, turn back, come back to this path. Come back to the way that you're supposed to be. He goes out and, you know, have you guys, how many people have seen the movie Forrest Gump? Okay, so my original title for this sermon was similar to Forrest Gump. You know, he goes to the White House multiple times in that movie and he's like, I went back to the White House again. And my title was like, Jesus Heals again. Because we've seen him doing this over and over already earlier in the text that we've studied. We've seen Jesus go out healing every sickness and disease among them. We've seen him go out and talk about the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor. You know, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. We see him doing this. We see him going out and launching, saying, you are the salt and the light of the world. He's saying that the people that he's ministering to and the people that are going to hear this later are his plan. Say this to yourself. Say, I'm Jesus's plan. Now say it like you believe it. Like, I'm Jesus's plan. Yeah, like you're in. Like, you're his plan to reach the world. He's going to do it through his people. And so he's doing it through these people. And we're going to see here in a couple of weeks where Jesus is sending out the 12, two by two, and he's sending people out. And you've been sent out, and I've been sent out. And it wasn't always like this. It wasn't cool stage and lights and TVs and all this other stuff. He's sending people out, and it's no different today. He's sending out the faithful. He's sending out all of us to tell the story of what Jesus has done in our life. And I wonder if we're looking for those opportunities. Again, I ask, what is Jesus doing in this text? He says, I didn't come to abolish the law. Adam talked last week about old wineskins. He didn't say, come and throw your old wineskins away. No. I've not come to abolish the law, but I've come to fulfill it, to make it more full. And look, we have new wineskins, a new understanding of God's word in a fresh way. And he's doing this all throughout this text. And as you go back and you start looking at the people that he's bringing into the inner circle, they are not the people that fit. Remember Matthew, the tax collector, if he stepped foot in your house, your entire house is unclean, not just the room he stepped in, and now he's rolling with Jesus. And you see this in this video, you know, I'm unclean, I'm not worthy, I can't do, you see this. And you see this constant message of Jesus going out and grabbing those who feel like they're unworthy and grabbing those who feel like they're unclean and bringing them into his very kingdom. He's like, this is how we pray. This is how we take care of the needy. This is how we're to love our enemies. And these guys are rocked. And I would ask, are we rocked? Are you rocked by what Jesus is asking you to do? Is he asking you to do something? What kind of life is he asking you to live? So let's dive into the text today. We're going to take chunks of this text back and forth. Good luck on following me in the back, guys, because I've changed this. So hopefully they make some corrections. But today's the hard to follow me on the screens, Josh. But it's what God has for us today, I believe. So join me in this text here. We're in Matthew chapter 9 already, verse 18. And let's take a look at this. Here's what it says. It says, while he was saying this, Jesus is busy. What did he just get done saying? What's the verse right before this? He's talking about wineskins and new wineskins, right? So he's just finished that. While he was saying this, the synagogue leader came before him and knelt before him. And he said, my daughter has just died. And in the other gospel accounts, it says that she was about 12 years old. But come and put your hand on her, and she will live. And Jesus got up and went with him. And so did his disciples. And then just then, so we think about this. Just, I want you to pause right here with me. You have a synagogue leader who has the faith to ask. Is this a pretty big ask? How many people have prayed for somebody that was really sick? Or are praying for somebody that's really sick? Like, that's a scary ask, right? Praying for somebody to be healed and believing that God can do it, right? His daughter is dead. Do you ever talk yourself out of even asking God? I know I talk myself out of even asking God, because what if I don't get the answer that I want? And I fool myself with that thought. Well, maybe if I don't ask, then I won't be disappointed. I better just say nothing. And that is a lack of faith. That is a complete lack of faith. It's not the result that we're hoping for. And I want to give you this quote about faith really quick. We'll jump into this quote by Oswald Chambers. Got a couple quotes on faith today. It says, faith is deliberate confidence in the character of God, whose ways you may not understand at the time. Faith is deliberate confidence in the character of God. Like, do I have deliberate confidence in the character of God? Do I trust his character, who he says he is, who he has shown himself to be in the text and in my own life? And what do I do when I don't understand his ways? And so this synagogue leader had faith to do this. And I pray often. Last service, I got to pray up here for some folks. The other services I pray, our staff team prays over those prayer cards that you guys turn in. It depends on the day. The 14 of us, 15 of us will take 2 to 3 to 4 prayer cards, and we break into groups and we sit in that room and we pray over those prayer cards. We read those requests and we pray and we pray and we pray. And we have the faith to pray. And you have the faith to write it on there. Some of you have the faith to come up here and receive prayer at the end of service. And you're just like, let's petition to God together. And so I am asking myself about my faith. And do you have the faith? Josh, do you have the faith to still ask? And when I pray up here, I've prayed up here for folks that had cancer. And they've come back 2 or 3 weeks later. And not that I did it, but lots of people were praying for him. And they're like, guess what? I'm good to go. And it's like a miracle. And I'll start crying like I do. And like we have had such great victories in prayer. And I'm like, yes, my God's amazing. And I want to tell you about all these victories that we have. Like, okay, we'll do a service sometimes. Like, okay, let's go through some prayers that have been answered this week. Real life, that's the service. And we just sit here for 30 minutes going over prayers that have been answered. That would be kind of cool. So you can see how amazing your God is. But then sometimes I pray extra hard. I pray for healing. I pray for somebody to not pass away. I have groups of people praying for that. Our staff is praying around it. The church was praying around it. I had tens of thousands of people praying for me with my heart stuff two Julys ago. And there's other people that have tens of thousands of people praying for him, and it doesn't seem like God answered it the way that I wanted him to answer it. and I have heartache and sorrow. But here's what God put on my heart to challenge you guys with. You got to train yourself. You got to train yourself to ask God regardless of what the result is. Regardless of whether you got the result that you wanted, your part is to ask God. And you see this over and over here in the text. They had faith. Did you see the gal in the struggle to want to get through there and to reach out and to touch the hem of his garment? And I wonder how many of us get to that point where we're like, and we back away from it. When God may want you to dive right in with both hands. Another quote from Max Lucado. I don't think it'll be on the screen, but I'll say it twice. And it's not their fault, it's mine. Faith is not the belief that God will do what you want. It's the belief that God will do what is right. Faith is not the belief that God will do what you want. It's the belief that God will do what is right. And then we get to sit and wrestle with how we felt about that. God is never less than because you didn't get what you wanted in your prayer. But I would challenge myself that I may be less than for not going to the table to ask. But God is not less than because you didn't get the answer that you wanted. Let's go to the next verse in Matthew, verse 20, the video that we saw. It says, just then a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, if only I touch the cloak, I will be healed. She believed that if she just touched the edge of his garment, not that she would say any words, not that she would have the perfect prayer all lined out, not that he would stop and turn around and say, okay, let me pray for you, let me do the things I need to do, and bam, you're good. She believed that if she just touched the hem of his garment, that she could be healed. How many of you are reaching for the edge of Jesus' garment, metaphorically? How many of you would even put yourself in a position to need to reach for the edge of Jesus' garment? And then Jesus turned and saw her. I love that Jesus sees things. He turned and saw her, and he said, take heart, daughter. I cannot imagine what those words must have felt like to her. Being called daughter, child, take heart, my child. Have courage, my child. Way to be courageous, my child. Your faith has healed you. And the woman was healed at that moment. So let's get this in context and understand the big deal of this. So it appears in the video, but it appears based on what we know of the text, is that she would have had some uncontrolled menstrual bleeding. And so maybe she was a little girl. Dads, picture your daughter, and wives, picture your daughter of excited about growing up in life, excited about who I'm going to marry and what kind of family I might have and what life is going to look like. And right when she gets to that point in her young womanhood, it's evident that there's a problem. Like, that'd be a real bummer. And let's go get a medical procedure and figure this out and all those other things. But in that culture, that's a huge problem. Did you see in the video, they're like, hey, she's unclean. And like the guy's like, don't come here. Well, what did that mean to them? What did it mean to her to be healed by Jesus? And what if she was 24 years old, just for math's sake, which would be an older lady at that time? What if she was 24 years old? What would her life have been like for those 12 years? What was her status? See, she was outcast. She's unclean. In the case of a woman with the issue of blood, her condition was not simply bleeding, but rather chronic bleeding. It had persisted for 12 years. And according to Jewish law, anyone who had continuous discharge of blood was considered unclean. And anyone who touched them would become unclean. And if you're unclean, guess what you can't do? You can't go to temple and guess where God is. You can't have a relationship with God because you're unclean. And you can make other people around you not have as great of a relationship with God because you can make them unclean. That meant that this woman was not only experiencing physical suffering, she was isolated. She was isolated like maybe Matthew was isolated. Like maybe the lepers were isolated. Like maybe the paralyzed people were isolated. It's almost like there's a trend of Jesus going to all of these people that don't fit in and don't get to be a part of the kingdom of God. And he's like, come on in. And they're like, hey, don't touch her. She's unclean. He's like, get out of here. She's not unclean in my kingdom. This is huge. It would be, let's take a look at this picture of a prayer shawl robe. And so she reaches out and you see that. And just if I could just touch the corner of his garment. I wonder where she got that thought from. I wonder where she got the idea that if she possibly just touched the edge of his garment that she would be clean. Does anybody have an idea of where she might have got that idea? And we could say this old phrase. Let me see if there's any old timers in here. We used to say this phrase quite a bit way back when. Where would she get this idea, Peter? It's in the text. Are you kidding me? It's right here. It's in the text. I wonder if any of us metaphorically are having problems with feeling clean before God. I wonder if maybe there would be an answer in God's word for you. I wonder if there would be an answer in community for you. It's in the text. Maybe she got it from Psalm 17:8 that says, keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings. Talit, the tassels, is what she was aiming for. I wonder if she got it from Psalm 91:4. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. How many of you go to Jesus' wings for refuge in your life? How many of you believe that there is refuge in Jesus' wings underneath his care, underneath his love, in his word? Maybe she got it from Malachi 4:1-3. It says, for behold, a day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and evildoers will be stubble. Lord, don't make me arrogant or an evildoer. I don't want to be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the son of the righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. She had faith and she believed that if she would just reach out and touch those wings, that she would be healed. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall. And you shall tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord of hosts. Maybe she knew her text and that was her chance. She had heard all of these things. Let's carry on and get to what Jesus was trying to get to before he got interrupted with all this other stuff. This other healings and stuff. Verse 23, Matthew 9:23. When Jesus entered the synagogue leader's house, he saw a noisy crowd of people playing pipes. And he said, go away. So here's what's happening. You die in that culture, you need to mourn. You could hire mourners. If you were super poor, maybe the synagogue would give you a couple people that would mourn. and they would play music and mourn. You're letting the people know that somebody has passed away. And so these people are here mourning, and they're playing the music because she's dead, dead. She's dead, dead. And Jesus says, go away. Stop mourning. This girl is not dead, but she's just asleep. And they said, okay, Lord, heal her. No, they laughed at him. They laughed at what Jesus was doing and trying to move the kingdom forward. Do you possibly think as you're trying to move the kingdom forward, somebody might laugh at you? Somebody might say, you're silly. God's a crutch. If they're laughing at Jesus, they're going to laugh at you. But he says, go away. I've got something going on here. Move along. After the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took the girl by the hand, and she got up. And why did she get up? Because her dad had the faith to go ask Jesus. He did his part. And this news spread through all of the region. So it's been a pretty long day for Jesus so far, but he just continues on. He goes and he heals again. As he went on from there, the two blind men followed him, calling out, have mercy on us, son of David. And when he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him and he asked them, do you believe that I'm able to do this? Yes, Lord, they replied. And maybe they had like buckets of confidence because they just saw what Jesus was doing. They're like, hey, I mean, it seems pretty easy compared to raising somebody from the dead. But they had the faith to ask. And I want to challenge you again. Where are you reaching out for Jesus' garment? Where are you asking for him to heal you? And many of you, and maybe the healing isn't physical. Maybe the healing's right here. Maybe the healing's spiritual. But do you have the faith to reach out and ask? And what struck me about this particular section of the text, they say, yes, Lord, they replied. Then he touched their eyes, and according to your faith, let it be done to you. According to your faith, let it be done to you. You are bold enough to ask. I'm showing up. And their sight was restored. And Jesus warned them sternly, see that no one knows about this. But they went out and spread the news about him all over the region. It led me back to some text we had already just went through not too long ago. And Matthew said, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. And he was talking to the Pharisees, and he says, but go learn the meaning of this. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners. And these people would have considered themselves sinners. There's something wrong with them because they're blind. And how do they approach Jesus? What do they say? They called out, have mercy on us, son of David. And I wonder, as we approach Jesus, do we say, Lord, have mercy on us? So first, are you approaching him? And then are you approaching him and saying, Lord, have mercy on me. See me. And he got that from the text. They would have gotten that from the text. Hosea 6:6. For I desire mercy, not sacrifice. And the acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings. He seeks out for mercy. Finishing up the text here, he says, while they were going out, a man who was demon-possessed could not talk and was brought to Jesus. Just another demon-possessed person. Whatever. Might as well finish the day off, right? And when the demon was driven out, the man who had been mute spoke and said, and the crowd was amazed. And they said, nothing like this has ever been seen in all of Israel. It would have been a pretty cool day. Would it not have been a pretty cool day to be following Jesus and just seeing like, whoa. So what are those things in our lives today? Are you looking for those things? Are you recognizing? I know we're enamored by the miracles and God has healed and does heal people. People go through to near-death experiences and come out of it and be like, he said it wasn't my time. But we have to reach out in faith. I want you guys in the interest of time, I'll give you this challenge. I want you to read through Hebrews chapter 11 this week. I want you to read through the Hall of Faith. Write that down. Hebrews 11. And I want you to see all the examples of people who have reached out in faith and done great things because the Lord empowered them to do that. And I want you to ask God, Lord, where do you need me to reach out in faith? Where do I need to be stretched where it's not really comfort? Most of the time, my great faith-growing experiences aren't when I'm super, super comfortable. And for some reason, I always seek to get super, super comfortable. Ever thought about that? Like, I'm always seeking to get more comfort, more security, more this, more that. But what if you're reaching out on faith? What if you're reaching out on faith with your house? What if you're counting on God to sell your house? That's a faith moment. Like, it's not going to work out if he doesn't sell it. It's going to work out. It's going to be ugly. But God does show up. And are we looking for areas for God to show up? Are we asking him to come into our lives? The second thing I want you to remember from today, first thing is reach out, be challenged on faith. The second thing that I want you to remember is you are not too dirty for Jesus. There is nothing that you've ever done in your past that's too dirty that Jesus can't take care of. You are not too dirty for Real Life on the Palouse. Welcome to the Dirty People Church. That's us. We got baggage. I'm the lead baggage holder. God, he's super intentional in all the people he's bringing right now in this text. Never Matthew. Never a tax collector. Never. Give me a Roman instead of a tax collector. Lepers, demon-possessed people, going to the Decapolis, this dirty area. If you even went there, you were unclean. The lady with bleeding. All of these folks don't fit in. But they fit into Jesus' kingdom, and they're actually the ones that he's seeking. And so whatever you want to bring to Jesus in your life, whatever it is in the past, you can bring it to Jesus. And he's got this super cool, everlasting, super powerful soap. He will clean you up. And then you go out and you mess it up again and you come back to Jesus. And you're like, hey. He's like, again, Josh, again. Yes, again, Lord. No problem. Keep coming back. Keep trying. Keep stepping out on faith. Keep making an effort. All you have to do is reach out and call out for him, metaphorically touch his garment. Ask for him to be in your life. Ask for him to mold how you think, how you act. Be the part of the plan that he's calling you to be. He never stops. You can't make Jesus unclean with your mess. But he can clean you up forever. And he can bring other people. You can hand people off that are carrying years of shame and guilt and burden and sorrow and sadness and everything, just the weightiest thing that you could possibly think of. And you can hand them off to your Jesus. You get to be there with them. Jesus might throw you a rag. And you get to be a part of taking all of those burdens, all of that sorrow, all of that heartache, and getting it off them so they can walk free again. Do you want to be a part of that? How many people in here are grateful that somebody came in your life and they were a part of that? Where would you be? Maybe you're there right now. We got to do our part in asking, and you got to believe that you're not too dirty for Jesus. I'm going to pray this over you and we'll go into communion. This is Isaiah 61, 1 through 3. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on you. It says me, but I'm saying you, us. Because the Lord has anointed us to proclaim the good news to the poor. the people that are burdened, the people that are weary, the people that don't understand that. We get to introduce them to Jesus. He has sent you and me to bind up the brokenhearted. He has sent you and me to proclaim freedom for the captives and to release from darkness the prisoners that are there. You get to introduce them to the key that will get them out of that prison of darkness, and they get to go to a place and be cleaned up. And some of that's you guys in here today. You're like, that's me. Cool, I'm glad somebody brought you. You get to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all who mourn. We get to provide for those who grieve Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty. Let me show you how beautiful you are. I'm going to introduce you to Jesus. He is the best polisher, cleanup person in the, or cleanup being in the world. And he's going to turn those ashes into beauty. You're going to have the oil of joy instead of mourning. You're going to have the garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair. And then we will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. And we get to admire and look at the people that he's cleaning up and be in awe of how awesome our God is. And we're like, that is so awesome. I want to bring someone else. Clean me up a little bit too, Lord. But I want to bring somebody else. I want to introduce them to you and your ways and your purpose and your plan. And we get to do all of that because of the work that he did on the cross. Lord, we thank you for that in Jesus' powerful name. Amen. It's a privilege that we get to take communion every day, every Sunday when we come here. If for some reason in your world right now, you're like, man, I am messed up. I don't feel worthy to take communion, and you can't get through it as we pray, grab one on your way out and you can read about communion, that we don't take communion in an unworthy manner. If you have ought against somebody or something's really messed up, there's a relationship that's just beyond messed up and you haven't done your part, take your communion with you and go and do your part. And after you do your part, anoint what you just tried to do with God's blood in his body. You can do that on your way out. You can grab communion. We don't count them that you took on. So join me as we approach this opportunity to take communion together. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took this bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, this is my body. It is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Lord, we remember how you have cleaned us up and you are cleaning up your kingdom. Thank you. In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. And whenever you drink of this, you do it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you are proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes again. You're proclaiming that he is the one that can clean up the dark parts of our life and the dark parts of other people's life. You are proclaiming that he can do it. You are introducing people and be like, I want to introduce you to someone who can free you. And so, Lord, we thank you for your blood shed on the cross for that opportunity. Father God, I thank you for this time with folks that have come here for the first time, folks that are here for homecoming weekend. Lord, your word is powerful. It is super powerful. And so, Lord, I ask that this word would marinate in everybody's hearts, that you would draw things out of it that were not said here in their lives. You would reveal who you are in their lives. You would reveal exactly what they need at this very exact moment. Lord, those steps of faith that we're getting afraid to take, that we're not sure, we believe you're big enough, but we don't know if we're big enough to ask. Lord, I ask that we would break through that. We would become unhindered in our desire to approach your throne for forgiveness, for mercy, for love, to be cleaned up and to introduce others to that. So Father God, we thank you for this time. We ask for your hand upon us. Help us to be the way makers that you've created us to be. Amen.
Thanks for checking out this message from Real Life. You can find out more about us by visiting liferotp.com and connecting with us on Facebook and Instagram. Until next time, have a great week.